The Sefer Mishael Sesharim is as famous for his introduction, perhaps, as he is for the content of the Sefer, because it's such a very critical introduction. And we're going to read an introduction to the introduction just for day one. The introduction to the introduction is from this edition of Mishael Sesharim. It came out maybe in the last 10 or 15 years, and it is a collection of the Shurim of Rav Aviner. Anyone here familiar with Rav Aviner, Rav Shlomo Aviner? The Rosh Yeshiva of the Beit El Yeshiva and a very, very popular Talmud Chacham in the Dati Lumi or Chardal community in Eretz Yisrael, and really very insightful. And just wanted to use this as a springboard for our learning of the Sefer, because he gives a little background about what we're doing here, why the Sefer is called what it's called, and I think that'll be a fitting way to kick things off. Okay, so you're not going to have this in front of you. This will be an introduction. Then we'll start with the content of the Sefer a little while. Sefer Mishael Sesharim, who is Sefer? Behei Yedia, Latikun Midos HaNefesh. Mishael Sesharim is the Sefer. That's how Rav Aviner begins. It is HaSefer, the Sefer, for Tikun HaMidos, the correction, the improvement of a person's character traits. Mishael Sesharim, HaSefer, HaGol B'Yosef, Makol Sefer, Mishkin Malo, B'Shinat L'Vachrav, is the greatest Sefer among all those that came before it and those that came after it. Okay, these are big words. The Vilna Gaon learned it an innumerable number of times. And he said about the Mishael Sesharim that it is a revolutionary Sefer. He brought about a revolution in the malacha of improving a person's self, improving a person's character traits. Shigil Yadu Shal Gon Sefer Mishael Sesharim. He paid a very large sum of money to get his own copy of Mishael Sesharim. Today he can get one for $10. The Gaon paid a lot of money for it. And he said, a new light now shines on this earth. The Gaon said that he would walk by foot across Europe. The Gaon lived in Lithuania. And the Ramchal, Moshe Chaim Lutzato, the author of Mishael Sesharim, he began his career in Italy and then later moved to Denmark. The Gaon said he'd be prepared to walk across Europe on foot to meet the Mishael Sesharim and to speak to the Ramchal and learn from him directly. What was the reason for all the excitement, enthusiasm of all the Gedolim of Mishael Sesharim? Which are the Mishael Sesharim, the Hainu Sefer Musar, Achadrachosav Musar is in Raketse Karchon Shalomun Shlema, Razit Adira Sharabenu Ramchal. So he says, very interesting. What you're going to read in Mishael Sesharim is a very down-to-earth Sefer. It's not designed to talk about milos and madrigos that are beyond the average person, filled with Kabbalah. Even though the Ramchal was a huge Kabbalist, and he was persecuted a little bit for his connection to Kabbalah, but the Sefer that you're reading is just the tip of the iceberg. You're seeing all the bottom lines of the conglomeration and the broad knowledge of Torah on every level that the Ramchal possessed, because he was one of the greats in the secrets of Torah in all generations. Choshita Musar is Besefer Mishael Sesharim. He lemaisa maskana shoshita Torahnis amuka razit primit. What you find, the practical etzas down to earth for every person in this Sefer, is a set of conclusions, meaning it's the product, it's the corollary, it's what emerges from such a broad scope of Torah, including even the secrets of Torah. So when he's talking to you as a human living in 2021, you're actually getting an insight, a window into a much deeper form of wisdom that's sort of packaged at the bottom line for you to be able to handle and process and put into to real life. That's one of the reasons why Mishael Sesharim packs so much heat, we could say. Oz Beis, Mesila. So let's analyze the name of the Sefer. That's going to give us insight into what we're trying to accomplish. What is a Mesila? Okay, gives it away over here. Mesila Sesharim, the path. Okay, a Mesila is a path. Kishim shol nitan lagia b'dilugim usav aderach, kach lo nitan b'shum ofen ladag al-shav Mesila rechonis hazos. The reason why it's called Mesila Sesharim is because in the same way, you can't get from point A to point B without traversing that distance. You can't just jump from point A to point B. You have to follow that path. The same is true when it comes to any type of journey a person is on in the world of Ruchnis. If you take a go, step by step, one after another, towards your end goal, you will reach the final stage that he describes. What is the final stage? You want to know? There are 26 chapters. 26 chapters in the Sefer Mesillas Yesharim. No, the last one is Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh. The final step is Ruach HaKodesh. Person can reach a state of Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh can take many different forms. Moshe Feinstein writes that when we say in our davening, specifically to Pesukim Tehillim, but we say it during the Slichos, right? Ruach Kodeshecha al tikach bimeni. Right? Everyone's familiar? So don't take the Ruach HaKodesh away from me. We're all sitting around in Minyan saying, Hashem, don't take the Ruach HaKodesh. And we're like, what am I talking? Talk to you have any Ruach HaKodesh? You have any Ruach HaKodesh? I don't have any Ruach HaKodesh. Not so fast. We do. We do have levels of Ruach HaKodesh. Yes, Yoni does, yes. But besides Yoni, there is a Ruach HaKodesh that we all have access to. So it's accessible on different levels. But that is the end game, okay? In the path that we're taking, and the Mesillas Yesharim tells you, believe me, if you follow the path along the right stages and progression, you will get to levels that you didn't think you can reach. Yesharim, inyano shel sefer hu keitzel lios adam yasher. See, then he says, okay, it's a path of the, I don't want to use the word just, okay? I'm not sure that's the first word that we would use to translate the word yasher. Just is like tzodek, right, tzedek. That's more the shorish of for just. He says, better yashar, like in Israel, that's the old joke, right? You ask someone for directions, so they tell you yashar, right? Straight, a straight path. Person who is straight-laced, a person who is straightforward. That is the translation of yashar. So what does that have to do with our Sefer? So he says, yashrus is a midah of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yashrus is a midah of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We said this in Parashat Hazinu, tzadik v'yashar hu. Now we know the goal of life in our behavior is to emulate Hashem. In whatever way that Hashem, we'll say, expresses himself, manifests himself, the way that he's described in Tanakh by the Nevi'im, teaches us something about how we're supposed to behave. Now, that has many different forms. Obviously, the more well-known examples, Mahu Gomel Chasadim, Mahu Rachum V'chanan. The way we know how we're supposed to act is by taking a page from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own midos. The way that he chooses to express or manifest himself in Tanakh teaches us something about that. Like tznius. Tznius is a gender non-specific midah. Surprise to people, okay? But it applies to men, women. It's not only about how you dress. It encompasses many different aspects of a person's behavior. Why do I have to be? Why is that a noble and fitting character trait? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tznua. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't always look to be out in the forefront in the limelight. The Navi describes him as a kel mistater. Hashem chooses to hide himself, to always be looking for attention. So that sounds a little bit silly. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't need to, you know, like there's a Bible, that God definitely gets a lot of attention, but he behaves in a way that's meant to teach us lessons. So Kodesh Baruch Hu behaves as a yasher. The Netziv gives a very piercing definition of yashrus in his introduction to his explanation, his interpretation of Chumash, the Hamigdavar. And he says, if you look at Bilam, Bilam gives us a little bit of a picture, a window into the destiny of Klal Yisrael with the blessings that he gives to the Jewish people in the Nevuah that emerges from the attempted curse. And in that Parsha, Bilam says, Tomos nafshi mos yisharim usi achrisi kamahu. He says, I want to be like Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. I want to be like the Jews because they are yisharim. I want to die the death of a yasher. That's what Bilam says. Frekin the Siv, is that the best you can do? The best you can do is you can say someone's a yasher. Aren't there higher madrigas a person can strive for? To be a tzaddik, to be tohar, to be kadosh, right? He's a straight guy. You know, like he's a good person to go into business with. He'll be honest with you, right? That's what yasher seems to suggest. Why not give a label which calls for a higher level of kedusha or tara, right? That's the question. Why is Bill the best compliment he can give is that the Jews are yasharim, Klal Yisrael, the avos are yasharim. So this is basically what the Netziv says. He says, that midah of Hashem, kel amun vein avel tzadik v'yosharhu, the description of the Rabbonu Shel Olam as a yoshar, ki shavach yoshar nemer lahatzik din HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'churban v'yishen sh'ador ikesh u'psalto, u'pirashen sh'ori tzadikim chasidim v'amoli Torah ach loho yosharim b'ligos olam, v'al zeh yitzadik adin HaKadosh Baruch Hu yosharhu, there are many tzaddikim, very righteous people, did all the mitzvos and learned a lot of Torah and davened with a lot of kavana. and we call them tzaddikim and chasidim, Zok, the Netziv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, because he says, I don't want tzaddikim like that. Those are not the chasidim I'm interested in. Because they did not follow through their behavior in dealing with other people. The characteristic of being a yasher is a cherry on top. After a person is a tzaddik and a chassid, then he strives to be a yasher as well. And that's what set the avos apart, that they had that label beyond the basics. So essentially what the Netziv is telling us is that there is a basis, there is a foundation of tzidkus and kedusha, and upon that foundation rests yashrus as a character trait of a person, as a character trait of the greats of our tradition, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But it's got to be built. These midos are built on an inner purity as well. Al basis komas yashrus zu ehem banu tzidkus kedusha. They were able to build their tzidkus on an inner core of yashrus. And that is the great praise for the Jewish people, because not just the avos, Klal Yisrael are referred to as Yeshurun. Yeshurun in Hazinu as well. There are many shuls, maybe you have a shul where Kahal Adas Yeshurun. Yeshurun is a name for Klal Yisrael because we are the people who share this quality in Am Yosher. Am Yosher. So essentially, we just need to understand, okay, so what does that mean? How could you possibly have a tzaddik who's not Yosher? The Tziv is describing, it's really great when a person is a tzaddik above and beyond his mid of yashar, but how do you have someone who's a tzaddik who's not yashar at the same time? See, here's the answer. Here's the answer. Tzidkus describes a person's actions. Asiyas maisim hatovim. But yashrus is a definition of a person's pnimius tova, ishius tova. It's more of a personality. It's more of a defining characteristic of who I am beyond what I do. You can be Shomer Shabbos, you can eat kosher, but inside you can be a mushkus. You can be an absolutely debased human. And what the Torah wants, what Musar wants, is not to just be a person who does good, but a person who is essentially good as well. Right? Notice, the Mefarshim point out that's a lashon of, there's a lashon of the Medrash. He said before, Mahu Chanan Varachum, Af Ata Heye Chanan Varachum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do acts of Rachmanis alone, but he is essentially Racham, and that's what we're striving for as well. A person who is Shalem does not strive just to know Torah, to do a lot of mitzvos. Ki im adam shebesoch yuso hu tov yoser. Mizdakech yoser, adin yoser. He's striving that his inside should be better, more purified, more refined, more noble, more sensitive. Yes, do the mitzvahs as well, but do you do your mitzvahs purely out of the external motivation, or is it something that emerges like a fountain from a source that is pure as well? That is the shayla. That's the shayla. So first thing to know is what we're learning to do in Mesilas Yesharim is not just to get it right, to do the right things that I'm supposed to do, to give us a little bit of a push to meet up to the standards and the expectations that we have upon us. You want to change. The point of learning Mesilas Yesharim is you want to change. I don't know how I can't overstate this, because it needs to be said again and again and again. The goal is to change. The goal is to change. The goal is to change. Why do I keep saying that? Same idea that those of you who were able to hear the message before the end of Sukkot, you at every point in your life, but especially now, are making choices as to who you're going to be. Unfortunately, and we've all seen it, and if you haven't seen it, look out for it. You're gonna be exposed to people around you in your communities, in your shuls, who have not changed in 40 years. Maybe more than that. They're in the same place that they were when they left, wherever they left last. I don't know if it was YU, I don't know if it was Yeshiva, I don't know if it was anywhere. But there's always a danger. And I'm never trying to put anyone down when I say this. I'm just trying to galvanize your spirit so that you set the bar for yourself high. Because when you set the bar for yourself high, wherever you hit, it's going to be higher than you would have if you were just sort of coasting through life. A person who wants to change doesn't coast through life. A person who wants to change will see positive difference. I don't even know how to describe it. I'm sometimes davening, and I just say, like, okay, like I'm 40 years old, but I'm not like such a big tzaddik. But I wouldn't have been able to get where I got right now if I ever stopped working on myself. If I had ever taken a break and didn't put, and there were times in my life where I could have been stronger, 1,000%. But if you're not always moving, you're falling back. We all know that. We all know that. Sometimes we're striving to get higher. Sometimes we need to just hold our ground so we don't fall back. But the goal of the Sefer is we're learning the tools, we're gaining the tools for changing who we are. Because the more of a change we can affect inside of ourselves, the more long-term we're going to keep that positive trajectory going, because it's not just about, oh, I checked off another box. I got to another minion, I did another mitzvah, crossed another old lady across the street. No. It's got to be inside of me, because when it's inside of me, it springs forth in so many different directions, and it doesn't stop flowing. Almost done with the introduction. Getting down to the Sefer itself. This is the introduction of the introduction. He says, in many Svarim, the introduction to the Sefer is a separate entity. Right? You can have an introduction. You can have a foreword to a book. Sometimes the foreword of a book isn't even written by the author. It's written by someone chashev, so you'll read the book. Right? So the introduction isn't always about the Sefer. Here is a unique instance in which the introduction to Mesillas Yesharim is actually part of the Sefer. In Yonashal Agdam Sefer Mesillas Yesharim, who is not so sincere as Talmud, he explains like, it's almost apologizing, like, why I had to bother writing the Sefer, okay? And you should chuckle a little bit when you see that, because, what do you mean? Yeah, as the Vilna Gaon said, this is a revolution. At the same time, if you don't know, if you don't have that introduction in your head as you go through the Sefer, you don't know why the Ramchal wrote the Sefer, you're not going to get everything out of it. Most books you read, if you're just reading a novel, so why the guy write the book? Let's be honest. He's got a book deal. Right? Okay? You know, he makes millions of dollars every time he publishes a book. He wants to entertain people. Maybe he's extremely altruistic and feels that people are bored and they need something to do with their time and to stimulate their mind. Rabosai! I always say, there's no such thing as boredom in Judaism. No such thing as boredom. You never run out of things to do in Yiddishkeit, ever. Likewise, if a gadol writes a book, it's not just to fill people's times. There is a concrete mission that is on the table, and the Ramchal teaches us, So one point he makes in Akdama, with this we'll stop for today, is that he looked around the world he lived in and said, the time has come for this Sefer. Why? Because people have abandoned the appropriate dose of Musar that people should be learning. Why? Because people think that Musar is light. Musar is like easy stuff, what you do in your hammock, what you do in your lounge chair on the beach. Kick back with the Mesillas Yesharim. I don't have a head for Gemara right now. So, you know, give me like some Jewish thought and philosophy. No! That's not what this is. This is a rigorous move for self-improvement. And now, again, you may think at first it's not as engaging in the intellectual way, but trust me, the more you learn, the safer you see the chachma. And if you're open to it, you'll see the introspection that naturally the Sefer inspires. And that's not a light thing. People think that Musar is just, okay, you know, seminary, Beseder, you know, give them their 35-minute Mesilat Yesharim period, and then they'll go learn Ramban al HaTorah. It's not that simple. People say, oh, I'm coming to BMP. You know, this is not, you know, it's not my IBC class. I want to, give me Bava Basra. Yeah, you know, give me Bava Basra, hold 40 pounds of it. Okay, no. Mesillas Yesharim is a heavy Sefer also. It's heavy in a different way. Heavy in a different way. And it demands a paradigm shift. The introduction has to be part of the Sefer, where he explains that as much investment, intellectual investment and spiritual investment, needs to be given towards Musar. Because this, you know, I have to finish with my favorite story. Someone asked Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, I only have half an hour a day to learn, Rabbi. Should I learn Gemara or should I learn Musar? So he said, learn Musar for half an hour and you'll see they have a lot more time during the day to learn. Okay? And you know what? If it's not learning Gemara, more time to get the davening on time, more time to do chesed. Whatever it is, Musar is going to transform you. That is our point. And I just want to say that I have a karsa tov to the chevra for for allowing me to learn Masechta Yesharim. It's been a couple years since I did it with the Shir, and every time I open up the Sefer and I read a few pages, I feel like, wow, like I just come home. I just feel like I'm in familiar territory. I feel like, oh, where have I been? Like, why was I so far away from this critical piece of Musar literature that every single person should own? When I tell you to buy something, one of the reasons I'm telling you to buy it is because you need this for life.